It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woo-hooer, a hand clapper, a high-fiver? I kind of like the high-five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino-style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses, so don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. VGW. Void or prohibited by law. See
terms and conditions. 18 plus. If you want to support the show, the best way you can is through any of the books or current ongoing Vela shorts that are being released on a regular basis. The easiest way to find this is to go to bit.ly/tmrbooks, and you'll have links there to everything. All of my Kindle books are available for free. If you have Kindle Unlimited, you don't have to pay anything. You get it with your subscription. You can read them all. They're all in screenplay format. That includes Swan Song, The Muses, Duet, In the End, Our Past Does Not Define Us, anything else that I've written that's available on Kindle, it's available there. You can buy a soft cover if you want. There's a hardcover collection of all of the Swan Song books, all combined into one. That's available as a hardcover. You can pre-order Echo Alpha, which is coming out in November. All of these things are available if you go on Amazon. But quick link, if you go bit.ly/tmrbooks. I have them all there, nice, easily cataloged. Also, down toward the bottom, we have the Kindle Vela content. The first three episodes are always free, and then after that, there's a token system that you can use to read. Even if you don't like it, just give it a thumbs up. That way, we can get it up higher so more people see it. So, one final time, that's bit.ly/tmrbooks, and every Wednesday, there's a new Vela book that goes up. Taser and Acrobat, Nanite and Rosebud, Tales from Another World, and The Alchemist and the Illusionist all go up on Wednesdays, and it's all available on Kindle Vela. All of this is available at bit.ly/tmrbooks. Sorry to overload the front, but before we start, one final thing. If you can please go on Apple Podcasts, if that's how you listen, and give us a 5-star rating, that would mean a lot. We're trying to get on to Rotten Tomatoes and sites like that, and we need to get more reviews to be accepted. So if you can go on and give us a 5-star review there, that would be amazing. Thank you very much. We appreciate everything you guys do when you listen. This week on 30 Minute Reviews, we have a formal cancellation for a Disney Plus Star Wars show, some casting for a different Disney Plus Star Wars show, a continuing look at ethics in journalism, and The Mitchells vs. the Machines, the animated movie originally called Connected that ended up debuting on Netflix all this week on 30 Minute Reviews. Welcome to 30 Minute Reviews. I am Adam. That new intro you heard is just for the Christmas season. We are pulling out all the stops for holiday, production value, I guess we'll call it. So let's start out with ticket sales news. So yesterday, I believe it was yesterday, it was formally announced that tickets for The Matrix Resurrection will be on sale for December 6th, and they will be going until the movie comes out. Really dumb way to phrase that. But you'll be able to buy tickets to see The Matrix opening night in the event that you can't schedule a root canal or something else more enjoyable for the same night. So that's something to look forward to. Right now, you can buy tickets for West Side Story, which comes out next week on Thursday, which is getting favorable reception so far. And then the big ticket sales story, which is going to come with a little bit of an anecdote, is Spider-Man No Way Home tickets are now on sale. They went on sale Monday at midnight for Spider Monday. You get it? Like Cyber Monday. So that, people bought their tickets then. It is really weird those lights are strobing that way on that thing. And granted, the rest of the lights are out in the parking lot, but it's weird. So Monday, I forgot, midnight Monday, I forgot the tickets were going on sale. So I didn't get to get onto the virtual queue until 12:10, which was fun because it's like, here's the thing. I feel like there would have been less of an issue and less of a glut, so to speak, if they did midnight in your time zone. And it was rolling, and it's as it hit your time zone, then the tickets would go on sale. Instead of doing midnight Eastern time, which is what I believe they did, where nationwide you could buy tickets at midnight Eastern time, which was like 9 o'clock on Sunday Western time. And it's like, well, why would you do that? Why would you, like, why would you not do it midnight as it comes? It's not like you have to worry about spoilers. Like, it's just rolling to buy tickets. And then if you did it right, you wouldn't have ended up with a glut of people all trying to buy tickets at once. And it would have, and it led to the clusterfuck that was ticket sales. Granted, at the same time, if so many people are trying to do it at once that it crashes the server, it looks good. So that's always kind of a fun thing to have to deal with as someone who's buying tickets. So I get into this virtual waiting room, which is a virtual queue. It took me like 3 attempts because the AMC app kept crashing. And then I get into the virtual waiting room, and I'm sitting in line. And I'm like, all right, I guess I'll work on other stuff. So I started writing the next 2 episodes of The Alchemist, and that's what I spent, you know, my time doing while I was doing that. Then by the time I finished that, it said, you know, minute, like 1 minute to go. I'm like, all right, great, perfect timing, we're good. And at this point, it's like 12:50. And I'm like, awesome, cool, I'll you know, that's great. I'll buy the ticket, and then that's it. Then it gets down to next, and then it resets back to over an hour. And I'm like, son of a bitch. Because now at this point, I have to be at work at 9 in the morning, which means I have to get up at like 7:30. And it is now just about 1 in the morning, and I'm waiting to buy tickets still. I still have not gotten in to actually buy my tickets. I'm not sitting out in the cold, so that's, you know, fine. So I'm ordering these, so, you know, I'm waiting in the virtual waiting room. At this point, I'm like, well, let me fuck around with my T-Mobile account and do that. So I ended up, you know, getting Paramount Plus, because I got that for free, apparently. If you have T-Mobile, you get Paramount Plus and Apple TV Plus for free. So then I got both of those and started fucking around with those to see what it had. And I'm like, I don't understand how Apple TV Plus got the notoriety it did. Maybe they just give it away with anything you buy that has an Apple logo on it. Like, oh, I need a new dongle for my piece of shit. And it's like, oh, well, here's a free 30-day subscription to Apple TV Plus. And I'm looking at it, I'm like, it's all original content, that's great, but it's a lot of it's a hard sell. It's like, you know, there are a few shows that I am going to end up watching, like Ted Lasso, I'm going to end up watching, probably For All Mankind, I've heard good things about, Defending Jacob, I've heard good things about, maybe Foundation, but, like, that's the thing. It's like, you know, if I, like, and they make it so hard to use on a not Apple device that it's almost, like, inhibitive to keep you from doing it. And it's like, well, if you like Charlie Brown, you can watch that on there. And I guess, you know, maybe I'll watch the documentary, but, you know, who knows. So, and then Paramount Plus, I think, has the biggest selection of back catalog stuff and older movies and stuff and older TV shows. Because, like, I think what ended up happening was, like, there was, like, this giant bidding war for content. And, like, Paramount was just like, we have this huge back catalog of shitty-ass movies that no one wants. And then they just kind of kept it for themselves. And I was like, oh, look, we have all of these movies from the 40s to the 60s. And it's like, you know, have fun with that. So if you like old movies and you want to check that out, that's definitely worth looking at. They got a lot of cool stuff. Anywhom, back to the topic at hand. By the time I actually got to pick my ticket, it was because I got so fed up with waiting that I closed out the app, like hard force closed it. And then reopened it, and it's like, you're next. So I did eventually buy my tickets. I'm going Thursday night, Thursday the 16th, at like 6:30. So that's going to be fun. And the thing is, I'm sitting there doing it, and if it wasn't for the fact that it was like 1:45 in the morning, and I would like to, I have to go to work the next day. It's like, I wouldn't have really concerned myself. I would have had the opportunity to like bask in the moment that like, this feels like a return to normalcy, because like the last time I did this was before the pandemic, where it's like, I think I did this for The Rise of Skywalker. Definitely did it for Endgame. Definitely fucking did it for Endgame. But I think The Rise of Skywalker was the last movie I did this for, where sitting in this virtual waiting room for a considerable amount of time to get tickets to a movie, and, you know, you just sit there, watch the little bar very slowly move across the screen, and you get to see, you get your ticket, you get to go see the movie when it comes out. And it was kind of lost on me, because again, it was early in the day. It was, like, fucking early in the morning. So, yeah, that's thrilling. Let's see, what do we want to talk about next? As a result of these ticket sales, we are getting 3 more co-produced Spider-Man movies between Sony and Marvel Studios. They were quick to amend this to say it's not going to be a trilogy, but it's going to be 3 more Spider-Man movies that are co-produced between Marvel Studios and Disney. So it's kind of going to be what they were threatening to do for a High Republic era trilogy, if I remember correctly, of Star Wars, where it's like 3 loosely associated movies that will, you know, kind of be set during the same time and may reference each other, but they're not going to be a series of events that go one right into the next in the same way that every other Star Wars movie was. And apparently Tom Holland will be reprising, but Tom Holland did not know about this until that happened, which puts Sony in an awkward position where they're going to have to pay him a fuck ton of money, because he's kind of got them by the short hairs now, because he's like, you know, well, you told everyone you were making this movie with me without asking me if I was going to be in it, so you're going to pay me a lot of money to do these 3 movies. And it'll be interesting to see how that plays out. I'm happy that this deal went through and is continuing. Hopefully it leads to good things. And I don't think anyone should be surprised by this, because Sony did announce that, what's it called, what's happening? I mean, like, well, Marvel Studios announced Spider-Man Freshman Year, which is a prequel to Homecoming and a prequel to Civil War, showing how Spider-Man got his powers. And I don't think it's surprising that this happened. So that's going to be cool. But we are getting 3 more co-produced Spider-Man movies at some point in the future, with Tom Holland returning. So that will be fun to watch. Next up on the itinerary, Jurassic World Dominion. You remember that Jurassic World, and then Jurassic World Fallen Kingdom, which was kind of shitty. And then Jurassic World Dominion, which is the next one, will be coming on June 11th, 2022. And it felt, apparently it required an announcement today that this is happening, but the movie will be officially rated PG-13. I don't recall any of the prior 5 Jurassic Park or Jurassic World movies being rated anything besides PG-13. So I don't know why this would be a shock to anyone, but it is rated PG-13. So you will be able to go to that if you're not over 17. Now, House of Gucci came out last week. I saw it on Wednesday night, did a review of it for Beware of Spoilers. And we discussed, you know, some of the weird choices that happened in that movie. Apparently, I'm not alone in thinking that some of the decisions that were made in this movie were weird, because the Gucci family came out and said, you know, it's a little weird that you made a movie where the protagonist is the person who, you know, hired a hitman to kill our son. She's not played as a bad guy, she's played as a hero. Well, not our son, our family member, our kinsman. And it's like, you know, it's a little weird. We don't really like the way that you portrayed our family in this, where it's like she's the victim somehow, yet she's the one who hired the hitman and then did 23 years in prison. And that was kind of something that, you know, hit me as I was watching the movie, was that it's like when they got to the end and they do the, and I'm not going to say spoiler warning because it's based on the true story, but when they got to the end and it's like, and Patricia did 23 years in prison after that, and it's like, well, yeah, she fucking hired someone to murder someone. Like, I don't care what the fuck happened. And it's like, yeah, you made a movie that was 2 hours and 40 minutes long, and you still didn't get me to a point where I could understand what was going on. Like, in terms of, like, did she, like, she hired the hitman because she was upset, and there was no time frame for how long the dissolution of the marriage happened over. And go listen to my review of the movie on Beware of Spoilers if you want my full thoughts on the movie. But I'm not going to waste everyone's time with that again. But yeah, it's I kind of tend to agree with them about this, where they make her into too sympathetic a character, and it's kind of weird. And Ridley Scott replied with, like, fuck off or something similar. Like, that's not even me being funny. Like, he literally said something along the lines of fuck off. And apparently the Gucci family is exploring any and all legal avenues they have to tell people to, you know, to make this right financially.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm gonna make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you wanna get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
VGW Group, no purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions 18 plus.
So, Star Wars news. Rangers of the New Republic has been formally canceled, as per an interview with Kathleen Kennedy, who said that the movie or the show has been canceled, and some elements of the show may have been cannibalized for other series, be it Book of Boba Fett, be it, what's the other one? Be it Ahsoka, be it The Mandalorian, be it even The Acolyte. But the show has been canceled and has been, cannibalized by the other shows. This throws a wrench into the narrative that Dave Filoni and Jon Favreau are actively working against Kathleen Kennedy to do whatever they want, irregardless of her, and then bring back Cara Dune, or I'm sorry, whatever, Gina Carano, and they're going to do it anyway. Like, I think this kind of flies in the face of that theory, and I'm not entirely sure how you can continue to listen to news sources that report on that when they are outright lying, and it's like, you know, the official company is like, no, that's not what we're doing. Like, it's not a non-denial. It's literally, we are saying this is not true. We are not doing this. This is what we are working on. We have what we are working on. This is what we are doing. And in other Star Wars news, Ahsoka continues to add cast members. And Ivana Sackno, I think is how you pronounce her name. She was in Pacific Rim Uprising, apparently. She has been cast in Ahsoka in an undisclosed role. When I saw her picture in the Deadline or the Variety article, wherever I read that, I have a theory about who she's playing, because it appears that Thrawn's gonna have a role in this, and we know that Sabine Wren's gonna be in the show, and this show is kind of gonna pick up right after Rebels, to tell the story of what happened to Ezra as they go and find Ezra. And you know, we're going to pick up after really what we saw in The Mandalorian. But if that end tag is after The Mandalorian, then, you know, it could still fit into continuity. And if that's the case, and with the most recent Thrawn book being what it is and telling the story of, like, why Thrawn ends up at the Empire, I think there's a chance that she could be playing, Admiral Arlani, who is the, you know, another admiral of the Chiss Ascendancy. She appeared in Thrawn Alliances, no, Thrawn Treason she appeared in. Yeah, Alliances was the one where he teams up with Vader. She appears in Treason. And then she also is a main character throughout all of Thrawn Ascendancy, all three of those books. There's a chance it could be her, but I've seen some grumblings among the EU fan community that they don't think it will be, because Dave Filoni doesn't tend to bring in things into the main continuity unless he likes it and has an active role in it. And according to them, when he does, he changes the characters. I disagree. I think Thrawn, as we saw him on Rebels, was very much like what we saw there. And Cobb Vanth, as we saw him in The Mandalorian, is exactly the way he was in Aftermath. So I don't buy that, but I could see that happening, especially considering he did just bring in Cobb Vanth. And really, like, when they show that flashback in season two of The Mandalorian, when they show him finding Boba Fett's armor, that's a scene lifted exactly from the first Aftermath book. So I'm interested to see if they do that. That would be my pick, although it's also equally likely she's playing an entirely new character who has nothing to do with anything we've seen before. It is the internet's way to try to assign, oh, it would be cool if it was this, oh, it would be cool if this was this. But we know nothing about this show, so it is entirely possible she's playing an entirely new character. On a more serious note, we have two more serious stories. Chris Cuomo, brother of disgraced former governor Andrew Cuomo of New York, has been indefinitely suspended from CNN after an investigation revealed that he was using his press contacts to coordinate response with his brother. Now, look, I'm not going to fault the guy for siding with family, because that is, and using everything he could to try and help his brother, because that's not a, what Andrew Cuomo did was wrong, and what Chris Cuomo did was wrong, but he did it for his family, so it's not like he was doing it for personal, I don't know, it feels weird to say that, but at the same time, it's like, you know, he was trying to help his brother, and what he did was very wrong. Especially considering he was giving information about the accusers that wasn't public information, and he was using his press contacts to get said information and give it to his brother, that crosses quite a few journalistic ethic lines and a few other things. And I think that, like, for CNN to be put in the situation where it's like, look, you can't be doing that. And we know for a fact that if we're going to sit here and we're going to say that, like, look, Hannity coordinating with Michael Cohen is a problem and all of that. I don't like getting political or talking about this, but, you know, we talk about journalistic ethics all the time, and this is something that goes along with that. It's like, if we're going to say one thing, we need to be acting the same way. And we can't be calling out the competition and saying, look what they're doing, that's wrong. And at the same time being like, but we're going to turn a blind eye when our guy does it. Because whether or not there's a legal liability there, I don't know. It feels like there should be, considering this is information that was not public information, and it could have interfered with an ongoing investigation, an ongoing criminal investigation. It feels like there could be some legal, like, some criminal liability there. I'm not a lawyer or a detective or anything like that, but that's how it feels, having read the article. But I feel like it's something that they have to do. They have to not have him there, because if they're going to stand and we're going to be the pinnacle of journalistic ethics, we need to make sure that we are following the same standards and practices that we call out others for not following. And that's a big deal. Otherwise, if you don't have standards, then you're not doing something for the greater good. You're just calling out the opposition to call out the opposition. And the other sad news story of this week, well, the first one wasn't sad. The first one was, quite frankly, horrific. But the second one is sad. Stephen Sondheim passed away this past week. He is one of the greatest musical writers ever. West Side Story was his. Let me just read out some of his credits, and you'll hear who they are, what they are. It's like Gypsy, which was adapted into a movie with Natalie Wood. West Side Story, which was adapted into a movie with Natalie Wood. Sweeney Todd, Into the Woods. Like, this man, he had, like, his legacy will be very hard to match by anyone else. He is a, it's a huge loss for the theater, for the theater industry. I don't like saying that, but, like, I guess we'll call it the theater industry. Why the fuck, oh, that's page up, okay, that's why. He was 92, I believe. 91. That's a big loss. We'll end off the news on that note before we go into this week's movie review, which is The Mitchells vs. the Machines. This is a movie that I saw a trailer for initially, and it was called Connected, when it was going to come out in theaters in 2020. And then it got pushed to Netflix due to the pandemic, and it came out earlier this year. I want to say April of this year it came out. And what ended up happening was, because of the name change, I missed it. And then I saw it on, what's it called? I saw it on Netflix, and I was like, wait, this looks familiar. And then I saw the trailer. I'm like, oh, this is that movie I wanted to see, and it looks really cool, and it's really funny. And Sony Pictures Animation, I think, is, like, they do Hotel Transylvania, yes, and that first one's not terrible, but, like, when we look at some of their other movies, it's a pretty solid studio in terms of animation. Let's see, they did Cloudy with a Chance of Meatballs, which is also Lord and Miller. They also did Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse, and when they partner with Lord and Miller and let them do their brand of comedy, it works. And their brand of comedy lends itself to family animation, and it works very well, and it's very fun to watch. Like, this movie's about a girl who is going away to college, and she doesn't connect with her dad. So the dad decides that he's going to get one more chance to take her on a cross-country road trip, and they do that. On the way to college, the robot apocalypse happens because the hybrid of Apple and Amazon unleashes a new AI that is trying to take over the world. And there are a lot of really great, funny moments in this movie that not even just, like, quirky animal sidekick, but, like, there's a bit where there are two robots that are damaged and they're trying to pretend to be humans. That's pretty funny. There's a bit where they're putting all the humans into, what's it called, into, like, these pods and send them into space, and they do kind of a fake, like, introduction video on an airplane. A lot of the jokes really land. It's a really funny movie. And I think that this is a movie that may have flown under a lot of people's radars, but it's definitely worth your time to watch, if you need a movie to watch. I would say, as of right now, having seen this, having seen Encanto, having seen those movies, this is probably my top choice for Best Animated Picture. I have not seen Vivo yet. I know it's on Netflix too, but, you know, I haven't seen it yet. I don't think Diary of a Wimpy Kid is long enough to be considered as an animated feature. It's definitely my favorite thing in animation this year, and that's including What If. Even though What If had some beautiful moments, it still has it topped. But definitely check this movie out if you haven't watched it already. You can get it on Netflix. It's included in your Netflix subscription. And it's the kind of movie that would have had a lot more fanfare had it come out in theaters, but they decided to, instead of hold off, they decided to punt it to streaming, Sony. I don't know why they did that. And it's the kind of thing, like, you watch this movie and you're like, well, I kind of want to watch Into the Spider-Verse again. I kind of want to, you know, dive into Cloudy with a Chance of Meatballs. And it's like, a lot of the humor is really smart. It's not dumb jokes that are, like, you know, designed to get a laugh from, like, lowest common denominator. It's a lot of the jokes are really funny, and they're higher brow than you would expect from a family animated movie. I think we'll wrap up there for today. What is today? Today is Thursday the 1st. Tonight I will be watching Hawkeye, and I will have a review up tomorrow morning of Hawkeye episode 3, which apparently is very reference heavy to a certain character who we may be familiar with. And I'll do a review of that episode tomorrow. We also have Wolf this week, and we have Come On. All of those will be on Beware of Spoilers, as will a review of the last two episodes of what was that show called? Wheel of Time. And a review of Diary of a Wimpy Kid, which comes out on Friday. And then there's also two movies on Netflix that I'm going to watch over the next 2 days. The Power of the Dog, or Power of Dog, or whatever the hell it's called. That one, and then there's another one. I don't remember what it's called. It's an animated movie, though, that I'm interested in watching. Both of those will be up. All of that will be up on Beware of Spoilers. And then next week we'll be back with whatever new entertainment news comes out. And if I find time to watch another movie, we will talk about that here as well. So until then, have a great rest of your week. Do you like the show? Do you hate the show? Are you indifferent to the show? No matter what, you should probably let us know what we're doing so we can change it to better suit you, the listener's needs. You can go to either bit.ly/BOScontact, which is a contact form page you can use. Also, you can just email us directly at 30minutereviews@gmail.com. If you have questions that you would like us to answer, we can answer them on the air. We have a few questions every week that will be selected to be answered on air. So if you want to tell us what we should do, or if you have a suggestion for a movie or a TV show or something we should cover, go to bit.ly/BOScontact and also email us 30minutereviews@gmail.com.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.